We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
So, I have an interesting relationship with my eyes. It is the part of my body that has been most complimented in my entire life. So random people I don't even know will come and say, oh, you have, especially when I'm wearing a blue shirt, they'll say, you have such beautiful eyes, right? It's the one thing I get compliments on. But the reality is my eyes are like a hunk who has big muscles and a chiseled chin and a great hairline and is wonderful to look at, but is empty in the head because my eyes don't work very well. I've had terrible vision my whole life. I started wearing glasses in first grade, and they immediately became Coke bottle thick glasses that I wore until seventh grade, and I had to get contacts. And then in my 20s, developed cornea issues. I've had two surgeries. I wore thick, big, giant, hard contact lenses. And there are times I wish I had ugly eyes that worked perfectly well. I don't know if you have felt like that about parts of your body, that there are parts of your body that you feel like you could just trade in for another, a better version, right? Something that you could just say, you know, God, if I could just switch this one out, you know, we would agree a little bit better. We would get along. Life would be so much easier if I could just swap this out. Now, fortunately, modern medicine is doing a lot for us, and we can get a few of those things. Luckily, I can see, but my eyes are not perfect. You know, we sang the song, head, shoulders, knees and toes. But you notice as we started taking things out of the song, and as we started getting faster and faster, it got a little more difficult. Right? It puts strain on the song, and it puts strain on us. You know, Paul, in our scripture today, speaks of the church, of the people in this room as a body. The body of Jesus, in fact. And each of us are part of that body. All head, shoulders, knees and toes, eyes, ears, mouth and nose too. All of us are different part of the body, different work, different functions, serving the same body. Paul says it doesn't matter what part of the body you are essential. If you think you're the nose hair of the body of Christ, you're essential. If you are the belly button of the body of Christ, even you are essential. Every one of us have value, and we are a body. Now, when Paul says this, he's speaking to the church in Corinth. We spoke about the church in Corinth a couple weeks ago, but I'll remind you. The church in Corinth was a church that Paul started, Paul loved, Paul helped to grow and begin, and then he left, and other people took it over, and he's writing to them because they're divided. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're thinking that some members are more important than the others. They're not doing communion properly, doing all kinds of things wrong. And Paul is talking to them to get them to come back together and treat each other equally. Because those with power, those with certain gifts, thought that they were more important than others. And Paul says no. That God has made each of you different, but God has arranged it that way. God has done this on purpose. Not because God thinks one of you is better than another, but instead because God has chosen it this way. But before we get into this analogy of the body too much, let's examine it in its own right. Do we really believe that the church, either the church universal or even the people in this room, is it right to say that we are a body? Do we accept that message? Do we want to say that each person is different, we all have a role, and we're all equal? We're all the same. We're all the same in our value. You know, Paul could have used a different allegory. He could have used a different metaphor, a different thing to bring together people. You know, the Bible likes agricultural metaphors. He could have said, we are a field of corn. We're a field of corn, and we're all planted in the same soil, and we receive the same rain, and we receive the same sun. And it's your job to be the best stalk of corn you could possibly be. You are supposed to be green and tall and sweet. And then, when the harvester comes, when the farmer comes to harvest you, he will use you as sees fit, being the best that you can be. Do not worry about the stalk of corn in front of you or the stalk of corn behind you, because some of them will wither and die. Some of them will not grow tall. Some of them will be stunted. You be the best stalk of corn that you can be, so that you can be the sweetest stalk of corn, or you might be the tallest stalk of corn, and that would glorify God. Well, the reality is, if we're all the same, if we're all stalks of corn, if the farmer comes and harvests all of us and gets the sweetest and the best and the tallest of the corn, what is the best that the farmer can do with that corn? The most gourmet thing that the farmer can make from all of that corn is grits. Now, I'm not knocking grits. I like some grits. But at best, grits are a side dish. And frankly, alone, they're pretty bland. And I think if Paul used that message of saying, you be the best you can be, it'd be pretty bland. It might be a little gritty and not as flavorful. Right? But instead, he chose the body. He chose the body, and frankly, that's a little difficult to swallow because, you know, the corn analogy would be very simple. You be Jesus, right? Just be the best Jesus you can be in the world. Don't worry about anybody else. You be you, and be in charge of you, and you be just like Jesus. We've had a bunch of little Jesuses in the world all going off on our own, doing our own thing, being the best we can be, and you'll be fine. And that's a simple message, right? You don't have to get along with anybody else. But the reality is, God has created us differently, on purpose. And it's an easier message for us to swallow, to be the best we can be, because then we don't need anybody else. We can look around the cornfield. We can see all of the other corn. And if we're the tallest or the sweetest, we know that God loves us. We know that the farmer wants us. It strokes our ego. And all of us are given the same gifts. We have the same gifts. We have soil. We have water. We have sun. We're all given the same things. And it's just up to us how good we are. Achievement, success are the goals. Being the best, it's an attractive message. But the problem is that none of us alone can represent the complexity and the mystery and the messiness that is the grace of Jesus Christ. We're not up to the task. We can't do it alone. We could be the best stalk of corn ever, but we're still just bland grits. Now the body, with its intricacies, with its interdependent parts, frankly, it's a miracle. Think about the body, with all of the detail, all of the many things. Most of us in this room have no idea what they do, but somehow they function interdependently to make a miracle. It's a harmony that regulates temperature, that heals itself, that creates energy, and is capable of thought and creativity. Now you can imagine that in Genesis, when God creates man in God's own image, that I might be to experience through my own body and its intricacies the majesty and mystery that is God. Paul makes this analogy of anatomy because we can all understand that life is pretty difficult when we're missing a part of our body. Right? It makes sense. If I'm missing an arm or a leg or a hand, it's not that I can't function. I can do a lot of things, but it makes it harder. It's not as easy. And in the same way, each of us are an essential part of the body of Christ. And when you do that, each of those other pieces, when you're missing a part of the body, everyone else has to be more sensitive, has to work just that much harder to compensate. And as Paul writes it, what brings out to me is a couple of different and really important messages for the church and each of us individually. And first of those is that each one of us is important. We are different, but essential. You have a vital role in the body of Christ. So that means that in this church and in the body of Christ universal, you have a place. You know, at the end of the service, we say, you are the best of the best of the best. That means that you are essential. You're so important to God and God's church. And that when you're not a part of it, when you're absent, there's a void. There's a gap. Because you bring creativity. You bring the gifts that you have. How many of you are artistic? Anyone? Fine. Artistic? Yes. Creative? Yes. How many of you are forgetful? Yeah? Oh, yes, yes. Okay, well, how many of you are very orderly? Yes, you like to write things down, keep the calendar, right? How many like to pay attention to detail? Right? How many of you like to speak in public? Yeah, maybe sing? Right? How many of you love to be behind the scenes and be back in the back doing all the little stuff? Okay, don't we need all those people? Right? We need all those people. All of those people are necessary. And you know those people. You work with them. You interact with them. And so we need each and every person, the creativity, the spontaneity, the fun, the humor, the order, the detail. God wants all of those things for the miraculous body of Christ. So God needs you. But on the other side of the coin is that God needs everyone else too. And you do. You need everyone else in your life because you don't have it all. You can't be Jesus out in the world by yourself. You need the person sitting next to you. And you know what? If you're a poor person that likes a calendar and likes to be orderly and have everything on time and every detail planned, I know you may not believe this, you need the person who's forgetful and creative and can think out of the box. I know. Trust me. Just trust me on this one. I know. For those of you who are like that. We need all of the gifts because they balance out. They paint God's full picture of mystery and meticulousness and messiness. Because when you take the leap of faith to trust in your neighbor and treat them like a child of God, It is a beautiful miracle, like the body of Christ. Because our strengths can lift up the struggles of others. And when we struggle, we can lean on those who have strength. And as Christians, we're not alone. God does not leave us alone and say, go be Jesus, because that's not possible. Instead, he says, link arm in arm and walk through life together, because together you can be Jesus in the world. But I have to admit that although this seems great, it's not always easy to practice, as the church in Corinth gives us the example, as you might think, because there's tension, there's friction. You know, as Paul says, it's hard for the eye to see the need for a hand. And it's hard for the head to see the need for the feet. We often see the world through our own perspective. And it takes time, and it takes wisdom to have perspective, to step back and see the value of the whole and what can be when all of us work together. Because we're different, but we're unified. No one more important than another. And that's really, really, really hard. It's really hard to look at life and say that no one is more important than the other. Because let me tell you, when you're one doing all the work and you happen to glance over and see the person not doing all the work, it's easy to say, hey, why aren't you doing what I'm doing? Why aren't you using the gifts that I have? Well, that's our challenge. Is to take the person who sits on the back pew and comes once a month and doesn't do anything else and say, you're just as valuable as me standing up here preaching. Everyone has something to bring and something to give. It's hard, but it is Paul's message to us. You know, ultimately, Paul's instruction comes down to value. We often take someone's value to be what they're worth financially or what they contribute to a group with their work and their commitment. But Paul takes that understanding and turns it on its head. He's saying that all the contribution and participation in this group, it's vital, it's necessary. But one contribution is not more valuable than another. In fact, he said, those of us that work hard, that get recognition in the work that we do, don't need any recognition at all. We instead need to recognize the person who's not recognized enough, who's not given naturally respect and recognition. Now, there's a challenge for you. You know, the spiritual teacher Henry Nouwen speaks about five lies of self-identity. And I may have shared these before, but he says these things. He says, these are lies we have about ourselves, that when you say, I am what I have, they're about our ego. Or I am what I do. I am what others say about me. I am no better than my worst moment. That means you're defined by the worst part of your life. I'm no less than my best moment. That instead you are defined by the best thing about your life. So when we live into these lies, when we live into these things that define us, that give us value, because either what we've done, by either what other people say about us, what we've accumulated, or because of the best or worst moments in our life, when we allow that to define ourselves, we move out of the understanding that we are a child of God, created with intrinsic value, that we are loved because we are, not because of what we do. understanding grace, which is God's love. The process of that is accepting the fact that no matter what you do, no matter what you have, no matter what moment you've experienced that is good or bad, no matter what others say about you, you have value. And in turn, we are to see others in that way, that they have value no matter what they do, what others say, or what they've experienced, or what they have. This knowing intrinsic value, it is the launching point. It's the beginning of how we understand to be the church. It's the understanding that I may not be the same as someone else. I might not have the same values. I might not even plan the same activities or attend the same things or be interested in the same things. But you know what? When I look that person in the eye, I don't see the difference. Instead, I see a child of God, worthy of love, just as I am a child of God, worthy of love. When we begin to know ourselves through the gifts and personality God has given us, and we know others through that same lens, we're not better or more useful than some other person, but instead, we see that each person is essential and necessary. We are the best of the best of the best, not because of how we have performed, or what we have, or what others say about us, but simply because God created us, all of us. Because when we look in the mirror, or we look into the eyes of someone else, we see a child of God, given as a gift to this community, to this church, to our lives. Because when we struggle, we're going to need those people. And when we are at our best, we get the joy of serving them. We are not the same, but we are part of the mystery and the messiness of the body of Christ. So now when we sing the song, let's not see head, shoulders, knees, and toes, but instead the people in this room, the people in your life who lift you up, who hold your hand, who gather around you in love and say, you are essential. You're necessary. You're the best of the best of the best. Head and shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Head and shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Eyes and ears and mouth and nose. Head and shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. That is the gospel. This is the body of Christ. Now if you'd stand and grab the hand of someone next to you. I just want to say, as we sang today, I felt something special in this room. I know it wasn't my voice that made it special, but it was our voices together. I felt the Spirit today, and I thank you for that. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place, and may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. May you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes we make. Instead, he simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. Do you live your life believing that and seeing that in others? This truly will be the body of Christ. Amen.